Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the free food and medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast. Yes, our auto recording didn't play, or our audio clip didn't play again. This stupid Blog Talk Radio. I'm about fed up with it. It's good for advertising, but that's about it. Yeah, David Reyes and I here. We're talking about herbs, obviously, that are good for the liver. Now, normally we talk about specific herbs. We pick an herb as a topic for the day. And today we're picking the liver as our topic for today and what free food and medicine is good for the liver. And we've already talked about some of them in the past. Milk thistle, wild lettuce, which milk thistle is in the wild lettuce family. Dandelions, which dandelion is in the wild lettuce family. So anything that's in the wild lettuce, or any probably lettuce family all around, is good for the liver. According to Marcus Rothkranz, anything bitter is good for the liver. So pretty much most all wild edibles are good for the liver. I will be parked in, say, 20 minutes. And if David Ray's not here by the time I get parked, I will stop and look up the book. Different stuff that's good for the liver. Meanwhile, we can Google some stuff, which you guys can do at home as well. I had made a liver tonic using essential oils. Let's see if I can find the ingredients. Let's see here. That I used. Here we go. Not that one. Here we go. Lavender, peppermint, geranium, everlasting flower, whatever that is. I've not heard of it. I didn't have any essential oil for everlasting flower. Then we have Lang Lang, juniper, which I'm out of juniper, and rose. Differences between geranium and rose geranium. Probably the rose geranium is the essential oil from the flower of the geranium, where the geranium oil is from another part of the plant, probably the leaves. Usually essential oils are made from the flowers, the leaves, the stems, maybe the roots, but I don't think so. Now I have to think about that. But like clove, there's a clove bud oil made from the clove buds. And, of course, then you can make oils from the seeds as well. I think the roots are mostly used to make, like, tinctures. And you can eat them. Maybe not geranium root, but other roots. And so that's what we're doing our podcast for, is to help you learn about that stuff if you haven't already figured some of it out. But feel free to join us. Go to freefoodandmedicine.org to find out our podcast times and the phone number to call in. Blog Talk Radio has a phone number, but it only allows us to have one caller. Where the other phone number we use allows us to have multiple callers. Anyway, so, rewinding. Let's see here. We'll start with lavender. Lavender is good for a lot of things. Relaxation, stress, anxiety, and obviously the liver. So, lavender... see what else lavender is good for. I think high blood pressure. But that might have to do with the big number, not the little number. The big number is more of a stress problem. The little number is more of a blood problem with high blood pressure. And since lavender helps with stress and anxiety, yeah, kind of self-explanatory. But being good for the liver, I have to look more into that. Actually, we can Google that. Lavender for liver. Oh, I'm on the phone, so I can't voice text it. And I'm driving. Give me a minute while this car passes me. Don't worry, I'm on a hands-free kit. But I'm still texting while driving. That's not necessarily good. Lavender for liver health. Google says okay, here we go. It is known that lavender has healing effects in the early phases of liver deficiencies. Can be extremely beneficial for liver disease. Lavender can also be beneficial for fatty liver syndrome, as it helps to control increased liver enzymes and chemotherapy, and it decreases them to a normal rate. So it helps to regulate liver enzymes, which that's pretty cool. Let's see if I can read further. Here we go. Lavender. We haven't talked about lavender actually on our podcast yet, I don't think. I wish David was here. It would help because I'm driving. All right, lavender is good for dander too. I can't read all that because it's small print. So go back to my stuff here. Peppermint. Peppermint's good for a lot of things. You know, the nice thing about essential oils and herbs, minerals, vitamins, you know, you might take them for one specific problem, like, say, we're talking about the liver right now. But, you know, herbs, alternative medicines, have what I call good side effects versus pharmaceuticals that have bad side effects. You know, it's like you may use lavender for stress and anxiety or high blood pressure, but at the same time, it's helping the liver. You might use it for the liver, and it's helping other issues as well. Peppermint. Peppermint's good for a lot of things, too. I can't recall exactly what all it's good for. I'll have to Google it. Peppermint's great for bug control and specifically ticks. It's also good for rodent control, specifically mice. But I think it has to be peppermint, not spearmint. They like spearmint. They'll eat like chocolate mint. But they don't like peppermint. It's kind of weird. So you might use it for pest control. Lavender is also pest control as well. I'm not sure which one. I think mosquitoes, but or chiggers, one of the two. But and you might use it for that, but its side effects are that it has medicinal properties for you. Women especially love peppermint. I'm not sure if this is accurate or not, but I heard that you don't want to use peppermint while you're on your menstrual cycle. Supposedly, it intensifies the, you know, the menstrual pains and all that stuff. So, something to look into. Peppermint. Let's Google that. Since David's not here. Peppermint for liver health. So you can eat it, you can use it for aromatherapy, you might even be able to smoke it, I don't know. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of herbs you can smoke or even burn as an incense. I'm not as big of a fan of burning incense, like oil for like incense. Oh, forgive me, I haven't gotten enough sleep lately. But, yeah. Lavender is good for the leaves are for the liver. Let's see here, respiratory. Good for nausea. Let's see here. Peppermint is good for irritable bowel syndrome. Skin problems. It's also good for high blood pressure. See here, gallbladder. Oh, interesting. Wait a minute. Okay. Good for the digestive system. I know you use peppermint and chlorophyll for flavoring. I like chlorophyll. I can't remember what all chlorophyll is good for, but I know it's really good for the body. And so I kind of use it like a mouthwash, only I don't spit it back out. You know, you can swallow it. And it'll turn your gums, your teeth, your lips, and your tongue green. But it's really good for you. I'd rather do chlorophyll than I would, what's that fishy stuff called? Wheatgrass? I think that's what it is. Oh, my God. Yeah, I can't do wheatgrass. Anyways. So, yeah. Peppermint. I'm not good at doing this by myself, especially while driving. Hopefully, maybe David calls in soon. If he don't call in another 15 minutes, I guess I'll call it good. All right, back to my notes. Geranium. Geranium is good for a lot of things. Geranium is good for spider bites. If you get bit by a brown recluse or anything poisonous as far as spiders go. Geranium will neutralize the venom. So that's always good to know. Snake bites. If you get bitten by a snake, Geranium's not the answer necessarily, but plantain is. From what I read, I've not had this experience, so I don't have first-hand knowledge, so here's the evidence. But from what I read, if you mix, I think it's white oak bark, and plantain herb, make like a salve, and have that ready. If you ever get bitten by a snake, it'll draw the venom out, and then maybe put the geranium oil on it, on the wound afterwards, and that will help neutralize any infections and stuff like that. But I would actually probably put tea tree oil on afterwards. Tea tree oil is more of a natural antiseptic and disinfectant. But that's for snake bites. Geranium is more for spider bites. I don't remember what else geranium is good for, but let's Google that. Ask the almighty Google God. Geranium. We'll just do health benefits. Then we'll look up liver. Aromatherapy applications. Geranium essential oil reduces stress, anxiety, sadness, fatigue. Oh, I could use it for fatigue. Not lately. I've had a lot of energy lately, but normally that's something that I deal with. Tension. Enhances concentration. I could use that. Improves cognitive function and balances the emotions as well as the hormones. Yeah, I could use that too. I'm kind of emotional. Okay. I'm sensitive. Let's see here. Geranium. David Ray is sensitive too, though. For liver health. La 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 la. David Ray, where are you? All right, let's see here. 5 drops of geranium oil aids the liver by expanding the liver's bile ducts, which help with detox. There you go. So geranium's more for a liver detox. Let's see here. It looks like lemon is saying, let's see, lemon and rosemary is also good to combine with geranium for a liver detox. So if you got liver problems, maybe detoxifying the liver is one of the first things you might want to do. I put together this liver tonic just using essential oils that I had on hand that are good for the liver. I didn't specifically do it for detoxification. I did it for all of the above. So maybe one of these days when I get around to selling my oils again, you can find that liver tonic at oilsoftheearth.com, which I'll probably be selling them at daviddavidanddavid.com, but I'm not 100% sure at this point. We're still trying to get our farm up and going, so we haven't even started on the store yet. But we do need to sell things so we can make money for the farm. But, yeah, we're just doing what we got to do. Anyhow, so yeah, keep an eye out for that. And if you are interested in the liver tonic, you know, I'll go ahead and make you one. I specifically made one for this girl I'm talking to / courting. And she's got some liver issues, so I'm helping her. Hopefully I can help her with that. But I have a friend who also has what she calls a spaghetti liver. And she's been taking, mostly I think she's just been taking thistle, milk thistle for it. Her doctor keeps telling her to quit taking it, but she doesn't. She just keeps taking it, which is smart on her case, you know, whatever. Because it's helping. Another thing I thought of before I forget, I want to mention Shishandra berry, which is also known as seven taste berry. Shishandra berry will heal the liver faster. Well, with it, you know, it can heal the liver very fast. There's this mushroom, and I don't know much about mushrooms, but David Ray does. There's this mushroom that is said to destroy the liver in like 3 days or within a week. And supposedly, Shishandra berry will heal the liver faster than this mushroom can destroy it. So, that is the go-to herb right there if you can get your hands on it. Probably illegal in the United States because Uncle Sam doesn't want us to heal ourselves. They want us to depend on the big pharma. But my friend, she's a nurse, and I'm proud of her for being smart enough to see through the facade and keep taking her thistle herb and taking care of her liver. She probably wouldn't be around anymore if she wasn't doing that. So I take my hat off to her for that. What time is it? Oh, yeah, it's after 4. There's still people here. And there's no parking available. Wow, I need to drop this trailer. Oh, hey, my old parking spot's available. Yay. I got one favorite parking spot, but the this is my other one. Anyways, because I want to drop my trailer and actually go someplace, not be stuck here at the stupid yard. And I don't got a load, so I can do that. I'm going to go talk to my Indian friend after the podcast. He owns this hotel up here, or he's co-owner in this hotel up here in Atchison. I want to go talk to him about religion, mostly because he's an atheist, but he grew up Buddhist, and but he's an atheist that is willing to talk about stuff, and so I need to talk to him about atheism and how to communicate with an atheist without communicating on a religious level. So that it doesn't create conflict. Because I'm not necessarily religious, but I am spiritual. And when you're talking to somebody who doesn't want to talk religion and they confuse spirituality with religion, or if they just lump spirituality and religion into one box and they have a wall that, you know, creates problems, then, you know, what are you going to do? So I need to go talk to him. Before I drop this trailer, though, let's get the book out. And we're approaching our deadline. So, I will read the book and go from there. If David don't call in by the time I'm done, we'll call it a night. I got two books here. I need to find my Prescriptions for Natural Healing. That was my Bible until I got the Marcus Rothkranz Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Guide. But I also got Backyard Medicine. That's my religion. But anyway, according to Blog Talk, I got 90 seconds remaining. But from experience, they don't just cut you off at 30 minutes. So I'm going to go over. Let's see here, Marcus Rothkranz. My book must have got wet. Weird. I don't know how that happened. Oh, this truck leaks when it rains. It must leak up there too. Crap. All right, let's see here. Jaundice, JKL. Lung. Liver. Holy cow, there's a lot of things for liver. All right. So I'm going to read you this, and you can do some homework on these herbs, if I can pronounce them all. Let's see, the first one I don't know if I can pronounce. Agrimony, A-G-R-I-M-O-N-Y, Agrimony. Alfalfa, hey, there you go. And Rugrophis, Andrographis, A-N-D-R-O-G-R-A-P-H-I-S, Andrographis. I feel like I'm in a spelling bee. Anyways, another hard one. Angelica herb. I'm not familiar with that one either. A-N-G-E-L-I-C-A. Apples. Oh, okay. Apples are good for your health. Well, good for the liver and your health. An apple a day will keep the liver doctor away. Apricots are good for the liver. Artichokes. Arugula. A-R-U-G-U-L-A. Arugula. Ash. Okay, that's a tree. I think. Let me find ash. This book is not technically in alphabetical order. There's like different categories, and they're in alphabetical order according to their categories. And I'm not sure how he categorized this shit. I haven't figured that one out yet. Let's see if I can find ash just by thumbing. I can look it up, but ashwagandha, but that's not ash. Oh well. Look up ash and ashwagandha. Okay, there's another one. Now I just saw that one. Barberry. Oh, holy cow, I hate barberry. Especially as a tree trimmer and a, you know, landscaper or whatever. Barberries are a nightmare when it comes to trimming. But apparently the berries are really, really healthy for you. Bayberry. Beets. Blessed thistle. I'm not sure what blessed thistle is. How about you?
I don't know what a blessed thistle is, unless it's something the Catholic priest prayed over.
Or a Jewish rabbi.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's one of the varieties of thistle because it's, you know, there's lots of different thistles. We got three of them on our farm. I used to know their names. One of them's Canadian. One of them's pineapple, and I don't know what the third is. And the Canadian, the pineapple might be the same one.
There you
Thank
go.
You, sir. Oh. Yes. Oh, yeah, I was supposed to announce myself. Yes, folks, I'm the idiot who showed up a half hour late after asking the show to be moved to daylight hours so I could actually read. And I don't hear Kano anymore, so I'm wondering if I lost him.
On that note, once we go overtime, well, we are in overtime, but once Blog Talk cuts us off in about 15 minutes, you'll be able to go and listen to the rest of the story at freefoodandmedicine.org.
Yay!
When I get time to upload it. Okay, so I'm looking at Marcus Rothgren's book, The World Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide, Under Liver.
Okay.
So, I'll start from the top. I can't pronounce some of these words, but agrimony. Are you familiar with that one?
No.
Okay. Apparently, that's good for the liver. Alfalfa is good for the liver. Andrographis is good for the liver. Angelica. Are you familiar with Angelica?
Angelica, I believe that's one that Brian used to grow.
Oh, okay.
Apples. Apricots.
Yep.
And here's another one of the thistle family or lettuce family, artichoke.
There you go.
Arugula. I know arugula is a green leafy vegetable, but I have no idea what it's related to.
Now, ash is a tree, right?
Yes. But I have no idea what ashwagandha is.
Oh, ashwagandha? I just saw it. Hang on, let me look. If I can find it again. This thing's not exactly in alphabetical order.
Well, yeah, there's sections. And the sections are in order. But
yeah, the sections are in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
Ashwagandha. Is a, let's see, does it. It works great when used together with ginseng. It's an antiviral, blah, blah, blah. It's a bush, I think.
Right.
We'll have to find out if we can grow it in our area. It's got yellow flowers.
Hey, I love the next one.
The next one. Oh, yeah, barberry. Yeah, I know. I hate barberry bushes. But apparently, we need to grow them. We'll just have to make a...
Quarry.
Huh?
Quarry. They go on the quarry.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why I got that other property. We'll just grow them there.
It may be,
yeah.
Not be why you got the other property, but that's what you're going to use it for.
Well, yeah, that's not why I got into the property. I got scammed into this community project, if you will, 20 acres, which is about 3 miles from my other property that we're buying. I should say our property that we're buying. And because the crazy guy on the other property pretty much ran us off. And he was a scam artist anyways. And he was self-sabotaging as well as sabotaging us. So we moved and got our own property. So now we grow things that, like barberry, that we may not want to grow on our main property. We'll just grow it over there.
Yep.
I got free reign of the whole property. I can do whatever I want to do with it. So So yeah, if you ever get scammed into a piece of property like that, there's always a solution. So
yeah, there's usually.
Yeah, we're using it for growing. Well, not so much growing hedge, but just any obnoxious weed that we want to grow for herb or medicinal or for food that we don't want on our main property because it's got thorns or whatever. We'll grow it over there. But it's got a different soil makeup. Yep. It's mostly clay, where ours is mostly dirt. It's got clay too, but it's got more. It was farmland, and so it was. It's a little more fertile. And
for
the other one,
now.
Yeah. The other
one
was
for livestock, and it was overgrazed.
Yeah.
And it's on a steep slope mostly. And so most of the good stuff is run off.
Yeah, most of the good stuff runs down to the creek and out off the property. At the top of the land, there's probably some good soil there by the front. But then after that, it's just all heel. And so, yeah, all the good stuff runs off. So that's real clay-like. But it's good for growing things like passion fruit. I can't get passion fruit to grow on our property, but it grows over there like gangbusters. So we just let it grow over there, and we go over there and pick it when we think about it.
Well, yeah,
but anyway.
I kind of like to grow the purple stuff, though, not the green stuff. The green stuff grows over there.
Correct. The orange ones that I got from California, they like a more desolate area as well, apparently. So they might grow over there as well.
Yeah.
I don't know about the purple ones.
Well,
so, barberry. Go ahead.
Yeah, barberry. Yeah, we may not have planted the passion fruit correctly. But okay, barberry.
Barberry. So I used to hate barberry. Now, well, it's a love-hate relationship. Okay, so bayberry. I'm not sure what a bayberry is.
Me neither.
Okay, we'll have to look that one up one of these days. Beets, and we'll do our podcast on it one of these days. There's hundreds of different herbs to talk about. Beets, everybody knows about beets. Red beets are really good for pain and inflammation. So I guess all beets are good for your liver, so there you go. I can't stand beets, but if you want to powder it and put it in a pill form, I'll do it that way.
You like pickled beets?
I don't know. We'll have to try that. The beets I don't like are the beets that come in a can that were put there by a man in a factory downtown.
And you have every reason to.
So I don't know if I like or dislike the other beets.
Right.
So anyways, let's see. Blessed thistle. I don't know how to pronounce this next one. Do you?
Bluets.
Yeah, I didn't even know what that is. B-L-U-E-T-S. Look it up.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, this next one, can't pronounce it either. B-U-P-L-E-U-R-U-M. Bupleurum.
Bupleurum?
Something like that. We'll have to Google.
Yeah,
that.
I don't know. Burdock.
All right. Burdock.
Burdock.
That
do
grows
not,
everywhere.
Do not eat the leaves.
Why?
Well, I'm sure they're full of nutrients, but they make everything bitter.
Oh, yeah, they are
make
very
everything
bitter.
However, the roots are nice, white, and tasty, unless you buy them in the store. Then they're black and hard as wood. But if you dig them out of the ground, I wouldn't call them succulent, but they're white and crisp and a good addition for your stew. So
there you go.
But leave the leaves alone, unless you're just absolutely desperate for nutrients, because I'm sure they're full of them. But if you're into taking bitters, they are very bitter.
Well, yeah, like I tell most people, if you like the taste of beer, you might like bitter herbs like burdock. And if you drink beer, you need burdock to fix the liver that the beer damaged. But
let's make some burdock beer.
Burdock beer. The burdock flowers taste pretty good. I like the burdock flowers. They're a little bitter, but they're not as bad as the leaves.
Yeah, and I forget, when I was still over on Quarry Land, before I got kicked off, before I got chased off, somebody needed the burdock seeds. And I went and collected those. And it took a while for me to find them, because at that time there just wasn't any burdock growing anywhere. But I eventually found them and collected the seeds. Those little pricklies on top, not so little pricklies, they're like 3/4 inch long, about 1/2 inch in diameter, with little spurs sticking out everywhere, so they get tangled in your dog's fur and you can't comb them out.